welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So I'm going to begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this precious group that you have put together this morning. Family, visitors that are part of our family, we're just grateful. We're grateful. Lord, I'm trusting you as you have given me this message to share this morning, that you will just speak to our hearts, Lord. That each person here, that as they seek your heart, that you will speak to theirs, Lord, individually, Lord. I always go back to what Pastor Ed has said so many times. There are two messages being delivered, the one from the pulpit here and how you're molding and shaping it individually for each one of us. So I trust you, Father God, for what you're doing, the words that you have given me, and how you are going to bless and speak to your children here this morning and online, Father God. We're grateful for our online family as well. So we love you so much. We praise you. We give you this time. And I just am so grateful for worship as well this morning. Your presence is heavy good here. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to begin with some scripture. Isaiah 61:4. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. And in my Bible, the desolation, the word desolation was defined as a state of complete emptiness or destruction. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Ezekiel 36, 35 through 36 says this, so they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. It is time to rebuild. We are in January 2025, and I don't know about you, but I get excited when January 1st rolls around. To me, it is just, it's a new year, and honestly, this year I just pictured myself at the top of a hill with a valley, a deep valley down behind me, and down behind me in that valley was 2024, 2023, 2022, and beyond. But ahead of me, ahead of us, is 2025. And I sense that there is just a clean slate, you know? That's what each year to me brings, a clean slate that God wants to write on. And as of, I have to acknowledge this, as of a few short days ago, January 20th, 2025, we have a new government, we have a new president, and that represents also a clean slate that God wants to write on. And yet, in the midst of this newness, we still see the ruins everywhere. If you have followed things that are happening in the church, capital C, around the country, around the world, if you followed those things that are happening in the church, our nation, nations around the world, you can easily see the ruins. And there is a shaking taking place. Many prophets that I listen to, that I trust their voice, they're saying everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And I believe that includes us. Oh, it's not to hurt us. It's to free us. Whether it's our personal lives, the church, governments, businesses, here or around the world, Prophetically, I am hearing we are being ushered into a new day, a new season, a new era. A new era with high anticipation and high expectancy that we are headed for an unprecedented time in our history for revival and reformation. It is a time to rebuild the old ruins. We are being called back to God's original intent for our lives, our nation, the church, and our world. The status quo across the board is falling to the wayside. Evil agendas are being exposed, man's agendas are being dismantled, and God's agenda is taking center stage. In many ways, I am sensing that God is saying, no more. What we have ahead of us is exciting and, again, unprecedented. Therefore, we cannot rely on what we've known. Our only option is for total dependence on God and His Word and obedience to His Word and to our God. And just this morning, I have to insert this. I was talking with Seth, our grandson, and Seth asked me a question out of the blue, and I know he's been diving into World War II things. And he said to me, he said, Nana, why did Hitler burn books? And I said, because it was how he could control. When you burn books, books that are propaganda for the devil, that we want to take care of. We want to get rid of the propaganda of the devil. There are those books that speak into our lives that are purely propaganda, right? But there are books that speak truth. And the devil wants to keep us from that truth. And that includes this. This is our truth. This is what he wants to keep us from. It's to keep us from the knowledge, the truth that sets us free. In God Encounters this year, that's our women's group, he's given us a word, and it's straight out of Luke 1:45. And to paraphrase, it simply says this: it is time for fulfillment. For those who believe, it is time for fulfillment of those things, those promises that have been given us from the Lord. It is time to rebuild the old ruins. It's time to let go of the old and embrace the new thing he is doing. And I believe that doesn't just mean letting go of the bad and the ugly. It is letting go of some, it's letting go of good things as well. You know, his word never changes, but he's giving us new revelation. He's giving us new ways of doing things. Yes, rebuilding, but also building something completely new, something completely different that is also freeing us up to go deeper in intimacy with him, deeper than we have ever known. This is Philippians 3:12-14, and in it Paul says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. Isaiah 43:18-19, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And one more passage that I have read time and time again to our women's group, and I have read it from the pulpit here. I'm being called to read it again because it so speaks into the day that we are living in. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whispers, there is change in the air. Okay. So, Lord, where do we go from here? All right. Well, I'm going to pull up Isaiah 61:4 again, this time out of the Passion Translation. It says, they will restore ruins from long ago and rebuild what was long devastated. They will renew ruined cities and desolations of past generations. In order to rebuild the old ruins, in order to welcome in the new, we first need to clear away and or just let go of the debris, the devastation, the desolations, which is destruction, from past generations, that which has been handed down to us through the generations. And I'm going to explain what I'm talking about there, why I'm referring to this. Many years ago, Scott and I lived across state, and one of the churches that we were part of over there, one of the things that they offered was Marriage Builders series. And I don't know if you're familiar with that series at all, but back in the day, a bunch of us couples would come together and we worked through this Marriage Builders workbook. It was intense. It was great. It covered many topics, everything pertaining to marriage and Jesus. And they also had Marriage Encounter weekends, which I know they still do. And those were weekends where you just went, listened to speakers, and they even told you as couples, don't be socializing. This is between you, your spouse, and Jesus. It was a great weekend. And it really spoke into our lives. It was amazing. But for the purpose of today, there is one of those topics that has stuck with me all these years, and it continues to challenge me. And that is the topic of legacy. You see, each one of us has a legacy. You know, alluded to it this morning, each one of us has a story with Jesus, but we have a legacy that has been handed down through the generations. And I'm talking parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and many generations beyond that. Now, each generation has contributed to our legacy. So by the time it's gotten to us, I don't know about your legacy, but mine includes the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly, okay? It's all ways. And what they shared with us, the challenge that they gave to us, was to look at our legacies and decide what of our legacy should continue to speak into and influence our lives and be passed on to the next generation, and what should no longer have a say in our lives, nor that of the next generation. Choosing what needed to be shut down. Now, as I have spent time with the Lord on this, this is what I got. That if you go back to the beginning of time, there are really two legacies that everything in our legacy is umbrellaed under. And it's this: legacy of life or legacy of death. Legacy of life is coming down from before time, from our Heavenly Father, down through Jesus Christ. On the other hand, we have the legacy of death, with its roots in the Garden of Eden, that is coming down through the devil. And as I put on the screen, it is your choice, it is our choice, to look at our legacy and decide what to move forward in, what to allow to continue to influence and speak into our lives and that of the next generation, and what we need to stop now. What needs to be rejected? In other words, what in our legacy do we need to address and say, in the name of Jesus, no more? You have no more hold or say in my life, or that of my children, or that of my grandchildren. Now, if you don't have children, you still have a legacy. You still have some choices to make. What are you going to carry forth from what has been handed down to you? And I'm here to tell you, even if you don't have children, you still have an influence on the next generation. John 10:10 just lays this out. The thief, the devil, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The Passion Translation, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I, of course meaning Jesus, have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow.
We have to look at the legacy of death first, okay? Just as it says, the thief, the devil, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The reality is we live in a fallen world. The devil is ever crouching at the doorstep of our heart. He prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You can find that in 1 Peter 5:8. He lies, steals, manipulates, deceives, divides, does whatever he can to keep us victims in him instead of victors in Jesus. His is a legacy of death, and no one knows or has experienced that legacy of death better than Jesus. You know, recently I was just hanging out with the Lord, and I just got to thinking about his death, and I was just pondering the death of Jesus, all that he endured, not only at his crucifixion, but his life on earth in general. Here are some words that came to mind. Torture, despicable abuse, ridicule, mockery, false testimony, lies, willful blindness to truth, evil power, greed, pain, betrayal, rejection, willful misunderstanding, deception, divisiveness, blackness, heartlessness, hatred, rage, contempt. In his humanness, he experienced it all. Any of those words resonate with you? They do with me. In our lives, we have experienced some of those things too, because these are all part of the legacy of death that have come down through the generations to steal, to attempt, to steal, kill, and destroy. What are some other things that have been handed down through the generations? Addictions, brokenness, depression, abuse, every kind, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, sexual, paralyzing fear, poverty mentality, and I'm not just talking financial, though that's included, bondage, anything that holds us captive, unresolved sin, anything hereditary that we so easily accept because, well, you know what, my parents, my grandparents suffered with that. I guess it's just part of my heritage. I guess it's inevitable that I will have to suffer the same. All that falls under the legacy of death. Okay, done with that. Let's talk about some good stuff now. Legacy of life. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Oh, that's quite a promise. What does his abundance look like? Salvation. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He conquered death that we would have life. But salvation, that word, oh man, is that jam-packed. My Bible includes the definition for salvation, and they got it right from the Strong's Concordance. It comes from the Greek word soteria. It's an all-inclusive word signifying forgiveness, healing, prosperity, deliverance, safety, rescue, liberation, restoration. Christ's salvation is total in scope for the total man, spirit, soul, and body. That's abundance. This is abundance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is abundance, and I'm taking this, paraphrasing Isaiah 61. Jesus came to preach good news, his good news to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to tell captives, you are free. He came to tell prisoners, to tell the oppressed, be free from your darkness. If you did listen to Pastor Ed's message last weekend, he talked about a man named Viktor Frankl, who spent time in the concentration camp and how he came out free, but how he was free during his stay at the concentration camp. Check out his story. And I know Pastor Ed talks about him too. So Again, I want to say this again, to tell prisoners, to tell the oppressed, be free from your darkness. To announce a new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on his enemies. To comfort all who mourn, to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. To wrap us in victory, joy and praise, instead of depression and sadness. He came to show us and give us the truth that would set us free. Colossians 1:13 says he came to rescue us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. That is the legacy of life. Oh, there's so much more. But this is what we can do on a Sunday morning. That is the legacy of God. Praise God. So, now back to 2025. It's time. It's time to restore ruins from long ago and rebuild what was long devastated. It's time to renew the ruined cities and desolations of past generations. It is time for us to take authority over our legacies in the name of Jesus, to say no to those things that fall under the legacy of death, and say yes to the legacy of life and life in abundance. It's time for fulfillment, to fulfill that which he has promised to us. And I'm going to say this too, it's time, I'm sensing it in his spirit, to fulfill that which you may have been praying for years. A prodigal coming home. Broken relationships restored, broken hearts healed, bondage ended. Our cities, counties, states, nations around the world coming back to the Father. It's time for the hearts of the people to turn back to their Creator, for eyes to be opened to the truth that is just waiting to set his people free. For Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. To revisit, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. This morning, he's not just referring to our own personal legacies, but also the legacy of our nation and our world. Whether it is the land of our heart or the land of our nation, it is his time to rebuild the ruined places and plant what was desolate in and through us. He has spoken it, and he will do it. And I felt really as a prayer to follow this up that I'm just supposed to read Psalm 91 to you. This is our prayer this morning. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He has spoken it, and he will do it. Praise God. Praise God. I need to go back to the Hitler part. I felt like I stumbled through that a little bit because it was just kind of fresh in my brain this morning. The devil through Hitler came to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that Hitler could control his people was to take truth away and to burn books that were about truth. And I have no doubt these were one of the books that was burned. Oh, I know he tried to manipulate it too, tried to use scripture to control people. But there are also books that really we shouldn't lay our eyes on, because it's propaganda from the devil as well. And so in that is a choice. It is a choice what we want to lay our eyes on. So as we're talking about legacy and what we want to carry forward from what's been handed down to us, we also have a choice of what we're going to add to it. It needs to be from the legacy of life, not the legacy of death. You have a choice. You have a choice on any given day what you want to walk out in your life and what you just simply need to say, no, mm-mm, no. Praise God. We are free. We are free to choose. And man, you know, on a Sunday morning, there's only so far you can go. So this was kind of like the 20,000 feet up in the air view. But I just encourage you that as we're letting God write our story, as Dave was talking about, we have a story with the Lord. And it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what is in your past. God is here to free you. You don't have to walk out the past. You don't live there anymore. You don't live there anymore. And we live in the present. We live in the present. And he so wants us free. And I think that's what 2025 is about. Freeing us individually, as a church family, the church, again, our nation, and nations around the world. And I hope I'm not portraying that it's going to be easy. You know, I read about the legacy of life, but we still have to deal with that legacy of death that is trying to knock at our door at all times. So even as Viktor Frankl had, you know, he talked about, Pastor Ed referred to this, you know, that the thing that got him through was that he knew that the one thing that the Nazis could not control was his attitude. You know? They could abuse him in every way, but he didn't buy into it. And that's what we have to. It doesn't mean that our days are going to be easy, but it does mean that we don't have to do it alone. That Jesus is with us. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in us. We can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Include looking at our legacy and going, okay, out with the junk, in with Jesus. Cleansing, guiding, directing, loving us through every moment. We do have exciting times to look forward to this year. There's a lot going on. And praise God, He is walking us through it. Every moment, day by day, month by month, year by year. I'm so grateful to Him for what He's doing in and through us. He loves you so much. We are so loved. And so I pray that as you've heard this message this morning, that you press into Him with it, to allow Him to love you through letting go of the junk, that stuff that falls under the legacy of death, and embracing, grabbing hold of His legacy of life. Remember, He is for us. He's not against us. He wants the best for you. And He is with you every moment. So praise God. Lord, Psalm 91 was my prayer to you, but I do just want to add on, we love you so much. We are so grateful that it is time. It is time. You are always on time, as our new song declared this morning. You are always, always, always on time. And it is time to rebuild. Time to move forward in the things of you and to reject and leave behind those things that have been attempted to be pressed on to us, but we can say no. We can say no to. I'm so grateful to you, Lord, for what you have planned for each one of us this year, individually, but together, corporately, as a church family. We are so blessed here at Door of Life. We are so blessed. We have such a Holy Spirit anointed pastor, Pastor Ed. I'm so grateful that you have given him and Julie this opportunity to just have husband and wife time, because that marriage is holy and sacred as well. And Lord, thank you for blessing them this week. Bless them mightily. And Father, for us, Lord, just as a church family, and we welcome in people all the time to this church family. We're not exclusive. We are all inclusive. Bringing in your children, Lord, your children that you created, that you created. You love us so much. You loved us so much, Jesus, that you went through the horrors of dying on the cross for us. But oh, when you rose again, death, where is your sting? We are victorious. We are victorious, Lord, in you, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. We love you so much. I thank you. I stand in awe of you. Grateful, Lord. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Carla. As I hear that message, I think of someone that a lot of you guys have met, my father-in-law, Jody's dad, Fred, and he's an amazing guy, strong believer. Knows the word like the back of his hand. He's a fighter for the word of God. But when he was saved, back in the charismatic Catholic renewal that was happening, and wow, he was born again, just completely changed. And the lifestyle that he had lived and it had been a tradition of his family, and all of that legacy that he was coming out of. God spoke to him at that time and just said something to the effect of, paraphrasing, that he is establishing a new heritage for his family. And we're enjoying the fruit of that. God established a new thing, took him on a completely new course and a brand new heritage. And as we gather on a Thanksgiving weekend, it's kind of become a tradition for us. We just sit around in a big room with a piano, and there's like 30 of us just loving Jesus, serving him in all different kinds of capacities in many different places in the country. And it's a new heritage. It's a brand new legacy that God established in him. And that's it. The Lord says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. I'm establishing new things. And the verse that I was thinking of as Carla was sharing was Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. But praise God, we're not building in vain. This isn't a rebuild that's going to have to be torn down and redone again. When we let, as Carla exhorted, when we let the Lord build this house, build our family, build our legacy, build our church, build our community. When we let the Lord build the house, it's not a labor in vain. It's a glory to God when that happens. And so, great word.